Isaiah 6, I want to read several scriptures this morning, and the message is the King, the King. Even though I read several passages, there were many more that could be included, but I shall just mention some of them and not read them to you. But let's start with Isaiah 6. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I shan't read the interpretation of this, but it's found in John chapter 12, and John tells us that when Isaiah spoke these words, he spoke them concerning our Lord, the Lord Jesus. Well, notice, the first reference I bring to your attention, which is not the first, but he is called the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, Jeremiah, chapter 23. Verse 5, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and shall deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. And now, let's look at Psalm 2. Understand that there are more references that could be read, but I'm reading just a few. And the message is the King. And so I want us to see references to our Savior being the King, and old and new. So, in Psalm 2, verse 1, Why do the heathen rage, and the peoples imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers make counsel together against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bonds asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. Then will he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son, ask of me, and I will give unto thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. And Psalm 24. Verse 7. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, yea, lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Psalm 45. Verse 1. My heart overfloweth with a goodly matter. I speak the things which I have made, touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Verse 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So will the King desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Verse 13. The King's daughter within the palace is all glorious. Her clothing is wrought with gold. She shall be led unto the King in embroidered work. The virgins and her companions that follow her shall be brought unto thee. Here are some of the Old Testament references. Now, in the New Testament, there are three or four I would like to read before this one we're going to read, but perhaps I shall mention them later. Turn to Matthew 22. All of this stems from our Savior being the parable speaker. And so finally, in chapter 22, verse 1, it says this, And Jesus answered and spake again in parables unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage feast for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the marriage feast, and they would not come. Please notice, in this parable, our Savior is depicted as the son of the king. And now, chapter 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separated the sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And I must read this to you. Revelation 17. Verse 14, These shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, and King of kings. And they also shall overcome that are with him, called and chosen and faithful. In chapter 19, Verse 14, And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and pure. Verse 16. And he hath on his garment and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe that those are enough scriptures to read. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, how much your word tells us about your Son. And yet, we desire more. Let us know, Father, that there was much more. Many other things did Jesus, which are not written in this book. Our Father, we are thankful that you told us that in the coming day, we shall learn of those things. We shall have eternity to learn about the fullness of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Have you not told us concerning him, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily? And have you not told us concerning another king, the half has not been told? Our Father, the outskirts have only been visited concerning this one. And we desire to know about him as the parable speaker. And so from all the scriptures we've read and how they relate to your Son being the King, we pray, our Father, that they shall be a blessing to our souls. Let us not be weary because of the abundance of things that you tell us about your Son, but let us rejoice in this fullness. So, as the Greek said, we would see Jesus. So show us, our Father, who Jesus is. Did not Zacchaeus climb that tree to see who Jesus was? And so show us, we do pray. Bless us, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. I told you about the many parables that the Lord Jesus spoke. He spoke no less than 57 parables. And in 35 of those parables, he includes himself in those parables. And I have read you of these parables, and what is so remarkable is this, that in 35 of them, he speaks of himself, but most of the time, he speaks in a way that we would never conceive of his Indian self. I told you the other week about Jesus presenting himself as a happy child playing a flute in the marketplace. He said, this is how the gospel being presented to you is like. It's like unto children in the marketplace playing a flute and saying to their fellows, come and dance, but you would have no dancing. And so the Lord Jesus said, I came unto you happy, joyful, speaking good things to you, and you rejected me. And so the Lord presented himself as a happy child. And this was even more remarkable when the Lord Jesus said, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings? He presents himself as a mother chicken wanting to protect her little biddies. And the Lord Jesus is the one who presents himself this way. How remarkable. Then, finally, I'm glad of this, he also speaks of himself as the physician. He says, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So now he has lifted himself up somewhat. He said, I am the physician. And I showed you last week a fulfillment of Isaiah 53, that the Lord Jesus is the physician that took our diseases and our afflictions. I showed you that he called himself the physician. But I looked and looked and looked in all the parables, and only in one did he ever give himself the highest place, that of king. And he gives it in the last parable that he ever spoke. And I read that to you in Matthew chapter 25. And this time, it's not a parable like the rest of the parables, but it is history displayed in a parabolic form, because Matthew 25 is what is going to happen historically. But then he puts it in parabolic, picturesque language, and he speaks of mankind as sheep and goats, but he speaks of himself in a literal way. He says, when the king sits on the throne of his glory, the king shall say unto them on his right hand and on his left hand. And so finally, the Lord Jesus presents himself as the highest, because who is highest in the land more than the king? You say, no one. And I read to you beyond that, not in parable, but in literal words, two of them, from Revelation 17 and 19. And this is what it says concerning our Savior. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. It says it once, and then in chapter 19, it says it again. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And so finally, in the parables, he gives himself the highest position. And then God, in the last book of the New Testament, tells us, in comparison to him as king, he is the king of kings. And so, there is nothing higher that can be said of our Savior other than this. In Philippians 2, our Savior has made himself of no reputation. He's taken the form of a slave. That is as low as a man can get. And yet, he said this concerning himself in Psalm 22, I am a worm and no man. And so our Savior, with his own lips, speaks of himself as a slave, and he speaks of himself as a worm. And yet, this is what it says after he has gone that low. It says, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given unto him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, not at the name Jesus, but at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Jehovah, Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that is why I read to you in the Old Testament that this one who is king is also called Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And so our Savior, being the highest, humbled himself and presents himself as the lowest. Because not only in presentation, but in reality, he was made sin for us, him who knew no sin. And he was made a slave. I read in John 13 about our Savior laying aside his garments, girding himself with a towel, and washing the disciples' feet. Here's our Savior humbling himself. And he was made sin, him who knew no sin, and so you can go no lower. And then, when the Father hath highly exalted him, he can go no higher than being Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And so in the Scripture, the Bible takes us from the first. That is why I read to you from Isaiah 6, when Isaiah saw in heaven the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on a throne. He said, mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. And so notice, before he became the lowest in humility among men, he was the highest in heaven. And Isaiah said, I saw him. And so he has been seen in his highest glory, and he has been seen on the cross until those hours of darkness, being made sin for us. And so the Lord Jesus does not mind telling us in parabolic form and then plainly who he is. But it seems as if he enjoys presenting himself in a lowly manner rather than in the highest manner. But understand this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King. And I trace, and there was so much material, it was difficult to bring it all together, but I found this out, that our Savior is called King by so many, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The thing that exalts itself among most of all is this. In Psalm 45, the psalmist said, I speak the things concerning the King. And so, Psalm 45 is a messianic psalm telling us about the King. And in that King, having spoken of his glory, it also says this, what God the Father says concerning this King. And it is told us in Hebrews chapter 1, God the Father says concerning this King in Psalm 45, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. And so God the Father addresses His Son as Thy throne, O God. And so nothing can be higher than God the Son. That is why I could have read you in fullness in Matthew 22 about the Son of the King. Because in Matthew 22, it says, the King has made a banquet, a feast for his Son. And so our Savior presents himself in a twofold way. In the last parable in the Bible, he presents himself as King, but in Matthew 21, he presents himself as the Son of the King. And so, if you ask him, is being exalted something strange to the Savior? Why, this one who is King is, first of all, the Son of the King. And he is called the Prince of Life. And so our Savior is the one who is Son of the King. And then he is King as well. So, if you look at the Lord Jesus in the parable that he spoke, you can find him in his low estate, and you can find him in his high estate. And when he speaks of himself as a worm and no man, how can anyone be lower than a worm in God's creation? And then if he speaks of himself as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, how can he be spoken of in any higher terms than this? The Father speaks of his Son as God as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John tells us that. And the Father addresses his Son as Thy throne, O God. And so we see the Lord Jesus, and he is the one, knowing full well who he is, knowing where he came from, knowing what his eternal destiny is to be. He lays aside his garment, and he washes the disciples' feet. Now, I may do this, not knowing my origin, who my ancestors were. I may take a lowly place because I think that I am of no reputation. But it says he made himself of no reputation. He had the highest reputation, and yet he made himself of no reputation. And he, unlike Ezekiel, is not one who frets when the Father says, I want you to speak to mankind in parables. And Ezekiel said, Lord, when I speak to them in parables, they say, he is a speaker of parables. Ezekiel did not like it. And yet the Lord Jesus was quite prepared that the Father says, I want you to humble yourself. He's quite prepared to lay aside his garments and gird himself with a towel and wash his disciples' feet. And then the Father, who tells his son what to say, the one who was the greatest of orators, the one who could describe all mankind and all heaven and all earth in the greatest of terms, the Father says, I want you to explain it in parables. And so the Lord Jesus says, yes, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a farmer. He went forth to sow seed. And when he describes himself in the lowest of terms, he's quite satisfied. And when he tells mankind how to get to heaven in the humblest of terms, in parables, he is quite satisfied. And so our Savior is the parable speaker. And he is brilliant as that parable speaker for this reason. At times, when he is going to speak to people, he has prepared parables. But at other times, some situation arises and immediately a parable forms in his mind and he speaks that parable. When he is preaching and they look upon him and they are thinking in their hearts evil things concerning him, he says, evidently you will say unto me, physician, heal thyself. He knew what they were thinking and what they expected of him. But he says, no, not that at all. And when they denigrated his character, the Lord Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own household and among his own kin. And so the Lord Jesus knew what to expect from life, and the Lord Jesus accepted and embraced what life brought upon him, because at that time during God's hand, so his life was in God's hand. But the final scene on earth, when our Savior comes back in glory, he depicts himself no longer in humility, not washing the disciples' feet, but as the determiner of the destinies of men. And he says, in this last parable, when the King shall sit on the throne of his glory, he shall gather all the nations before him, and he shall put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand, and he shall say to the sheep, come ye blessed, and he shall say to the goats, depart ye cursed. And so he who was crowned with horns and was mockingly called the King, God saw to it that the truth was displayed in every gospel. It says over his head on the cross for these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And so the Lord Jesus accepts all of these insults, but while they laugh at him with his title, the King of the Jews, and put on his head a crown of thorns, the last picture that Jesus gives of himself in his parables is that of the King sitting on the throne of his glory. And whatever man may say of him and think of him, the Lord Jesus is the disposer of the destinies of men. And he shall say to some, come ye blessed, and to others, depart ye cursed. Our Savior is King of kings and Lord of lords, the greatest of the speakers of parables. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for this one that you sent from heaven. And though he spoke in parables, yet when men heard him speak, they said, never man spake like this man spake. And let us know that we can concur with this. And we are so thankful for the words that he did speak. We can understand these words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can understand his words when he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, you shall be saved. We are thankful, Father, that the Lord Jesus came with joy and with simplicity and with plainness of speech, and we have understood and we have obeyed. And so we rejoice, our God, that all the things that he spoke were true. And we haven't seen him as yet, our Father, in his glory. We've read of it, but in the coming day we shall be with him when, as king, he sits upon the throne of his glory, and we shall be his, our Father, and we shall be among those who inherit the kingdom, and we shall never be separated from our Lord. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and we shall be caught up to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We thank you for our portion on earth, and we thank you for the portion that shall be ours in heaven. We thank you for all the desires in Jesus Christ our Lord, the powerful speaker. In his name, amen. The meeting is over.